Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This last week, Sue and I, who's sitting here in the front row, who I can see, earlier this last week, we went and did a few errands together. We headed over to Onalaska Way and did a few things over there. And of course, when we leave in the morning, I know that that means I'm taking her for lunch. Whether she wants to eat or not, doesn't matter. I'm taking her to lunch. Taking me to lunch. And I don't know about your dating life or your spouse life. I'm telling you, one of the most stressful things for me in my relationship with her is deciding where to go and eat. Yeah, I'm telling you, it is horrible. I give her warning. I can give her warning a day and a half in advance, a day in advance. This is what we're going to do. So start thinking now. Well, I don't know what I'm going to want then. I know, but start thinking now about, well, what do you feel like? It doesn't matter. I'll eat whatever you want. The day comes, we talk about it again, and I'm like, is there anything you don't feel like? Yeah, I don't feel like this kind of food today. I said, great. Well, then, do you feel like that kind of food? Because, I mean, I can go. I'm just like, I love you, honey. I might as well just go to the office. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just her and I together. And she just, and I just, I don't know. So anyhow, we came to a decision. Hallelujah is right. And I said, okay, well, there's this place. And we decided on having Mexican food. Yeah. ¿Qué pasa? Okay. And took her to a place that she hasn't been, that I've been, I don't know, maybe, well, now four times over the last, I don't know, whatever, 8 years or something. It's not like I go over there all the time. And we had a really nice lunch. She liked it. She said, hey, I think this is my new favorite Mexican restaurant. I was like, you know, glad she's happy, glad she's liking it. And this could minimize the length of our discussions of where to go to eat in the future. Oh, and I'm no help in that discussion, by the way, because I say, I'll do whatever. Well, that's never helpful, right? She wants me to contribute, and I just go, whatever you want. And so I'm part of that problem. Anyhow, so it was a few days later. It was early evening, and I showed up to my granddaughter's tennis match. And was there, and part of the family was there, and some friends showed up. Amy, it was so sweet of you to make this poster board and draw it out and go Libby. She brought it over there to Wimbledon, and it was so sweet of you, Amy. And so having conversation with her mom, Holly, and talked about, oh, yeah, took Sue over to this place in Onalaska. And she goes, oh, yeah, I know already. And I was like, oh, she goes, well, did you forget I'm friends with your wife, so we talk about all this stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, right, okay. But told her about it, Of course, Holly and her husband, Curtis, they've been there many times, so they had this conversation. And so the point that I'm making by telling you this story is that when something is really good that we like in our life, we tell other people, right? It's like Dr. Euchre here he's my dentist. Don't get upset. I know I haven't been there in years. So if you look at my teeth, don't say, "Ooh, I don't know. Is he really that good?" It has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with me. So I always make sure that before I have seen you, I at least brush once. So I... by the way, this guy's outstanding. Thanks, Joe. People come up to me and say, "Hey, I need a dentist." I said, "You can go to whoever you want, but I know this guy in our church. He's outstanding, especially if you need an extraction. This is the guy. I'm telling you, if you get to the point where you got to have it extracted, this guy will load you up with so much Novocaine. He's your guy." No. Oh, for 3 days, my face hung down like this. No, I'm kidding. It didn't. No. You tell people. You have a good experience with a mechanic. You have a friend or somebody you bump into, they're having problems. You say, "Oh, this is where I go. You got to call them." Right? You tell when you have a good experience somewhere in life. My wife, in her conversation with Holly, said, "Hey, Randy took me to this place, and man, it was good." That's what we do. We tell people, or we invite them. We encourage them to go, check it out, order this, it's what I had. We do those kind of things. In the gospel, you look, and you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to relay some verses to you. It's in John chapter 1. And as he writes, he begins to tell about how some of the disciples started to get connected and called to Jesus. And in verse 41, Andrew, who has experienced and listened to Jesus, Andrew goes and gets his brother, Simon Peter. Says, "Listen, come here, you got to come with me. I've met the promised one. I've met the Messiah. I want you to meet him." And he brings him and introduces him to Jesus. Two verses later, Philip, who had the experience and listened to Jesus, he goes and finds his brother, Nathanael. This guy right here, Nathanael. You might call him Nate. But he goes and finds Nathanael, and he says, "Nathanael, I have found the Messiah. And he is from Nazareth." And Nathan's response is like, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, really? The Savior, the Messiah, is coming from Nazareth? Come on." And he says, "No, please." And he says, "Come and see. Come and see." And he makes his way, and Nathanael and Jesus have this marvelous introduction. You can read about it on your own. There is this come and see. You know, when the Lord has done something in our life, salvation, all additional things that he does in our life, we shouldn't really be quiet about that. I mean, if we can tell people about a nice restaurant or a good dentist or a good mechanic or whatever, I think that we should be able to open our mouths and say, come and see. Come and see. This is not a perfect church, but I'll tell you what, the Lord shows up here, and he's been doing things in a lot of your lives, and certainly a lot of your lives over time, and repeated things. I mean, there's a lot of places that you can go to on Sunday morning, or not go anywhere at all, but you're here. And I know it's out of your genuine faith to the Lord, but he must be doing something here and during the week of the ministries of this church, or the connection that you have with people because of what the Lord has done in you. I want to remind you to not just talk about restaurants and mechanics and dentists and stores and whatever. Just invite and say, come and see. There are several visitors here this morning. I had the privilege of meeting some of you. And some, you just come and check it out on your own. But some of you, you came this morning because somebody said, come and see. Come. And it's not that this is some great place or that I'm the epitome of great preachers. That is not the case. It's about the Lord showing up here and doing something in people's hearts. I've heard a lot of the stories and what it's meant to you, what the Lord has done by connecting with people here who believe in the Lord, by coming to this place, by getting involved in a ministry. And it all started with somebody saying, come and see. Check out this restaurant and get combo number 6. It's fantastic, right? Go over there to that dental office, but ask for Dr. Yuka. This is not about a commercial, by the way, for your dentist's office, Joe, but so you can go where you want. You just get the point. I'm sharing this because it's a story from my life. It's my experiences. When I invite people to church, I generally say, check out New Life. Because it's where I attend. I always love it when I invite somebody and they actually show up and they had no idea that I was the pastor. It's just so much fun. I don't know. That's a side note. I get a little kick out of it. Hey, that's the guy, you know. So listen, say this with me. Come and see. Come and see. You don't have to have all the answers for all their questions. Just come and see. He didn't have all the answers about Jesus. He just said, come on. Come and see. You find out for yourself. But just come and see. Maybe you won't like the restaurant. Maybe you won't have the same experience that Sue had. Probably because I'm not there with you, but anyhow, that's what makes life so, you know. And when I try to speak Spanish to the wait staff and I don't know a lick of Spanish, my wife's just like, oh no, can you let me just order for you? No, she doesn't do that. Come and see. And then when the Lord begins to do something, as you see it and you in people around you, as you see the Lord start to do something and they're starting to ask or they're starting to seek or they come and they just sense different things, how their experience and you know, maybe it's just so different than what they thought, or they've never really had a relationship with the Lord, or never were real close to Him, but they believe in Him. They just don't know a lot about Him. And, you know, whatever our spiritual history is, and if people come and, I mean, I just hear a lot of different things. I hear things like this from time to time. Every time I've come in here, and they've just been a few times, all I begin to do is I begin to tear up and weep. I say, it's okay. So that's the Lord. Sometimes He just begins to touch our soul that way. And He just tries to bring a nearness, and it just affects us. Body, soul, and spirit, that's what we're made up of. And it's okay. You just let Him get close to you. You keep looking for Him. You keep reading the Scripture. Keep talking with Him, right? And over time, it's not every time they come in, they start crying. That's not the point. It's just something starts to happen. And there's different expressions. But it's always come and see. And when something that the Lord begins to do in another person's life, and this is even between believers, that a couple of believers or a few believers, they both believe, they already have a salvation experience. The Lord is doing something new, revealing something new. I want us to encourage one another, whether it's starting out in the faith or we're further along in the faith. And as you discover or see that the Lord is doing something, that come and see needs to turn to an encouraging word to say, go and do. Amen. Go and do. We look in the Old Testament, and we were to look at the commander of the army of Syria. You'll find this in chapter 5 of 2 Kings. And Naaman is his name. And this commander of the Syrian army, he has leprosy. Now, that could be many different difficult things. It's not just, you know, he's got a skin issue. It could be, we probably found other diseases that would classify under that over time. But he's sick, and he has leprosy. And it removes him from some relationship with people, and life is difficult and all of that. And there's a servant girl that came from Israel. When they had war and conquered, they took this servant girl, became a servant in their house. She said to him, listen, there's a prophet in Israel that if you go to him, his God will heal you. He finally relents and says, okay. And Elisha doesn't even show up. He sends a messenger to give direction to this commander that he's supposed to go dip in the river 7 times, the Jordan River, and he'll be healed. Well, this, you know, commander of the army, he's a little offended that the prophet didn't show up himself. He's thinking the Jordan River, that's filthy. I've got better rivers, cleaner rivers here in the Damascus area, you know. And so he was not going to go. And then multiple servants around him said, go. Go and do. Please, go and do. Go and do it. And so he once again relented and he went and he dipped himself 7 times into the Jordan River. Walks in, dips, walks out. Walks in, dips, comes out. 7 times. And the 7th time, he comes out. And the scripture says his skin became soft like a baby. It starts out with come and see, and as they begin to experience the Lord, we want to encourage and say, go and do to one another, to people in our life. Go and do. So you can look at Samuel and Eli, Hannah's son, Samuel, she committed him from a baby because she conceived. It was an answer to her prayer. She gives her son to the house of God, to the old priest, Eli. And one night came, and Samuel was there, who helps Eli because Eli doesn't see real good anymore, physicals. And Samuel lays on this bed. You'll find this in 2 Kings also. I should give you the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There, it's in the evening. The light hasn't quite gone out yet. And Samuel's laying in bed, and he hears his name being called. So he gets up quick. He runs into the other room to check on Eli and say, "Yes, what is it that you wanted?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You called my name." He said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Happens again. Samuel comes over. Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Third time, Samuel gets up, comes over, says, "Eli, you called my name again." Now, Eli recognizes that the Lord is speaking to Samuel. See, at that point, Samuel didn't recognize or know the voice of the Lord, but Eli did. And he said, "Samuel, go back to bed, and when you hear your name called again, this is what you do. Say, 'Lord, here I am. I'm listening.'" It starts with come and see, and then the encouragement of go and do. Don't complicate the spreading of the gospel. Don't get a lot of hang-ups. God loves people. He loves you. His heart's supposed to beat within us. And how we live and act and how we invite. Come and see. Boy, go and do. I'll tell you what, it's hard to invite somebody to come and see if we haven't come and seen for ourselves. It's hard to tell somebody to go and do when our life doesn't represent go and do. It loses credibility. "Oh yeah, go eat at this restaurant. I've never been there." Okay, probably not. Right? You're here at New Life. The Lord's doing something. He shows up. There's something happening in your life. Come. Just come and see. Just come and see. And as the Lord begins to do things in other people's lives, in our own, now it's go and do. Respond to what he's revealing. Respond to him drawing us. Respond to this fresh faith, this new experience. This is, in simple format, this is responding to the gospel, the grace and the mercy of God, to encourage others to come and see. And as it starts to happen, go, do. You know, we call this the altar area of our church. Kind of standing up here at the front. There's nothing elaborate or fancy about it. It's just a place that we call the altar. It's like moving from where we are in the courts and the inner place and getting to this altar. And, you know, many of you have never come to the altar. And I know that you can seek the Lord anywhere. You and I can seek him anywhere in our life. But there's something about coming and moving to the altar. Come and see. You come and see. You know, that moving forward, that expression sometimes in a variety of ways to show that we're interested in something. We show up. We attend. We buy the equipment. We, you know, get the tools we need, whatever it is, to show our anticipation, our hope, our participation, all that. In church, it's, you know, it's not, "Well, I'm already saved, so I don't have to go. Please tell me, please tell me." That the altar has not been set aside alone for just when we're desperate, or we're sick, or we're hurt, or we're lonely, or we're confused, or life is hard, or I don't know where else to turn. All of those are good reasons to come and reach at the altar, to present yourself to the Lord. But please tell me that that's not the only purpose or reason that we come. But what about I'm coming to seek Him? I'm coming to present myself before the Lord. I'm coming to just seek Him and look to Him, right? Something personal, something that we move from the state we're in instead of just doing maybe what we always do. And I'm not saying that you got to be up here every week, but when these opportunities come, because the other is this. If we're saying come and see, and yet we ourselves are not coming and seeing and pressing and pushing and moving, why would others? And the more that you and I come and see, and the more that God does and happens in our life everywhere, not just here, it empowers us and more credibility, more impulse of God's presence and Spirit in our life. As we invite, it brings greater fruit. I just believe that. Right? And then the go and do, right? This coming, do you know that it inspires others? You're not coming for a show. You're not coming for the sake of other people, but I'll tell you what, as a parent, there's a lot of things in pursuing and walking with the Lord that was private. I wasn't putting on a show. It was sincere. But I made sure there were a few things that my kids saw in their dad. The same for Sue. As a mom, as a Christian mom, things we did, we want our kids to take notice. Part of the coming and seeing and the tasting and the going and doing, it impacts others. We're here at church. The culture should be seek the Lord. The culture here should be press in. The culture here should be I'm going to present myself before the Lord. I'm not just going to go and be moved when all of a sudden this desperate circumstance situation shows up in my life. Now, you don't have to feel guilty about that. It's okay. God uses that in our lives, right? I should be going to maintain the teeth that God gave me here. But do you know when I really show up? I gotta see Joe. Right? Yeah. Those things happen, and it should move us to seek Him, but how about seeking Him, coming and seeing, and doing and going when there isn't necessarily a need that is driving us? Please tell me that coming and tasting, coming and seeing, coming and hearing is not just based upon a desperate need. Come rescue me because I don't know what to do anymore. We've all had that, and the Lord responds, and it's the right thing, not belittling it. But it's like once the need is over, then we don't come and see anymore. We don't do and go anymore. This is not to condemn any of us. I've seen some of you have very hard times in the last 19 and a half years that we've been together. Something crops up. You have made a beeline to the altar. You didn't care if there was an altar call or not. You were going to come and see. You were going to, go and do. You needed the Lord to really do something. And then He did it. Praise his name. But now you don't come and see anymore. You might attend, but you don't come and see. And that you want others to come and see. And we don't necessarily go and do or encourage others to build off what they are coming and seeing and experiencing. I want us to be reminded to still come and see and bring others to come and see. And for us to go and do and to encourage others to go and do and respond to what the Lord is doing and saying to each of us. Would you stand up, please, all over this room? When people come in here, I want them to experience the culture of God's kingdom. The warmth, the attentiveness, the joy, the support when maybe we come in or others come in and you can see life wearing on them. And we don't have to know each other's full story, but you can just tell something's weighing on somebody. We come and put armor on somebody. Take time for somebody. I am so grateful for you that I've taken moments and you've taken moments to connect, to share. You're a good dude. Well, I appreciate you saying that, but you probably haven't known very many pastors to say that I'm good. But thank you. Listen, that's the culture of the kingdom. To weep with one another, to pray with one another, to celebrate with one another, even celebrate when it ain't maybe going so good for yourself. But I'm gonna celebrate your celebration. Oh, yeah, you just, you know, had a baby. Good for you. This is what's going on in my life. And I just pour all this devastating stuff. I can't even celebrate you having a baby. They're not having a baby, by the way. They've got the three. So you're going, hey, whoa. No. Kristen's like, uh-uh. But to take time to celebrate, to care, and to be inconvenienced without making the person feel like they're an inconvenience. Hi, Nate. You too. Oh, I like you. Thank you, dear. I'm glad one of you does. I'm kidding. Quick, say it to him. No, I'm kidding. Listen, the culture of the kingdom, it's coming and seeing. It's going and doing the kingdom in our life. That's great. He's sleeping great, just like some of you were a few minutes ago. Listen, if you're here this morning and you do have a need, I want to make sure there's opportunity to have somebody pray with you before you leave here, if it's something you're open to. And it doesn't matter if it's your first time here, you don't really come, that's immaterial to us. We do this on a regular basis. We see it in the scripture. We're supposed to be praying for one another. It's one of the greatest things we can do. And so if you're a deacon or deacon's wife or on staff and you're in the service, I invite you to come and just stand across the front of the altar area. Face those who are attending here. Just come. All right? Now, if you're here and you can't come to pray with people, we understand that. We get it. We want you to be careful. But, yeah, come. Balance the side out. Thank you. Yeah. Going to have you come. Going to have you pray with people. So as we start to sing this song, if you're here, you want somebody to pray with you? These in leadership will take time and pray with you. And you don't have to tell them the big, full, long story. Nobody's going to be prying into your life. You can just come and say, I need prayer for this. Give the nutshell version. Maybe it's so private, you just like, I don't want to share this with anybody. God knows. You can still come for prayer, and they'll say, what can I pray with you about? And you say, I have an unspoken request, which means I'm not going to speak it out, but the Lord knows. And I want you to know, totally acceptable, because the Lord knows. And just let them pray with you. If you're here this morning and said, I don't really need someone, we always need people praying for us, but I don't need somebody to pray for me. I just want to come and present myself before the Lord. I want to find my little corner to kneel in or somewhere here. Just say, I just am coming to the Lord. I'm going to seek him for a couple minutes. I invite you to come. If you're here and you decide, I'm not comfortable with that, I don't want to do that, I want you to know it's okay. You come back, there'll be more opportunity, right? And I want you to feel the liberty to stay and worship, or if you need to go and move on with your day, you do that, okay? If you have to go do that, don't feel unspiritual, okay? That's not the point here. There are times that we need to leave, and we have responsibilities, and we have to go, right? But I want to give you opportunity to present yourself before the Lord, to come if you need prayer, all right? So, Father, would you hear our prayers? Would you watch over us in all of our coming and going? Lead us. Help us to be inviters. Help us to open our mouth and say, come and see. As we recognize you doing things in people's lives around us, help us to open our mouth and be such a joyful encouragement to encourage them to go and to do like Eli, Coach Samuel, as the servants encouraged Naaman to go, as Andrew and Philip invited, said, come and see. Help us be the living church here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.